Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q1 FY26 earnings conference call hosted by Sula Vineyards Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on a touch-tone phone. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Mandar Kapse, Head of Investor Relations at Sula. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Kapse.
Yeah, thank you, Ziku. Good afternoon, everyone. On behalf of the management team at Sula, I would like to welcome you all to the Q1 FY26 earnings call. Today on the call from the management team, we have with us Founder and CEO, Mr. Rajeev Samant, and CFO, Mr. Abhishek Kapoor. They will take us through the Q1 performance and answer your questions. As always, we'll kick off today's call with Rajeev sharing his thoughts on the operating environment and our Q1 business performance. This will be followed by Abhishek taking us through the financial highlights of the quarter, post which we'll open the forum for Q&A. Before we proceed, I'd like to draw your attention to the Safe Harbor statement regarding the forward-looking statements. Please note that various factors may cause actual outcomes to differ materially from those projected. With that, I now invite Rajeev to commence today's call.
Thank you, Mandar. Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you all for joining us today for Sula's Q1 FY26 earnings conference call. I hope all of you have had the opportunity to go through our Q1 press release and presentation that we have put up on the exchanges. Discussing our performance in Q1, our own brand's performance was impacted by two major factors. First is the softness in urban demand, which continued to persist, and second, towards the end of the quarter, we were also impacted by the temporary disruption in wine placement in Maharashtra, our most important market, following the announcement of the excise duty hike on spirits. To add more context to this latter point, post the duty hike announcement, distributors substantially front-loaded spirit purchases to take advantage of the pre-revised prices stock. This shift in focus led to a significant reduction in wine offtake during the last 2 weeks of June in Maharashtra. Now, June is our highest grossing month in Q1, and Maharashtra, of course, as you all know, is by far our largest state market, and so this factor definitely had a notable impact on our Q1 sales. There is likely to be some impact of this in July as well, but going forward, we see this policy announcement as a positive for Sula and the wine industry in general, as wine will become relatively more competitive and attractive to consumers in Maharashtra. Our economy and popular brands stand to gain more, as the biggest duty hike impact is on the more economical spirit brands. Moving on, apart from these two factors, we also had a one-time gain of 10.4 crores on account of the WIPS unwinding in Q1 last year, and that has distorted the comparatives this quarter. Adjusted for this one-time gain, our revenue in Q1 stood fairly flat on a YOY basis. Further, despite the near-term headwinds, Sula gained market share in the last fiscal year, FY25, and we expect to have gained market share in Q1 this year as well, going by the early industry data that has come in for some of the key corporation markets. Talking about our portfolio mix, our elite and premium wines continue to perform better than average, and the share of elite and premium stood at a healthy level of 75% during the quarter. Our elite portfolio in particular saw very healthy growth led by the Source and Rasa range. The Source continues to be a standout performer for us, and in Q1 the brand recorded robust double-digit growth. Given the resounding success of the Source, one of our main priorities this year is to expand its national footprint by rolling out the Source wines with top priority across the country. Turning over to wine tourism now, I am pleased to share that FY26 started on a strong note. Our wine tourism business grew strongly by over 20% in Q1. This growth was driven by solid all-round performance as we saw a heavy increase in footfalls and record Q1 resort occupancy and spend per guest. Our resort occupancy for Q1 stood at 82%, up significantly versus 70% in the previous year. While the spend per guest at our wine tourism facilities increased by 6%. Improving spend per guest continues to be a key focus area for us, and we are constantly working towards providing an elevated visitor experience to drive this important KPI. In another positive development, the much-awaited Mumbai-Nashik section of the Samruddhi Highway is now open. It shortens the drive time between Mumbai and Nashik by 45 minutes, thus materially improving accessibility for a large section of our visitors. Our expansion plans in wine tourism are progressing well, and we have a host of new openings coming up in Q2. The most significant of our upcoming expansion plans is the new 30-key resort coming up near our York Winery, which will be known as The Haven by Sula. The new resort is slated to open in time, well in time for this festive season, and will expand our room capacity by around 30% to 134 keys. Also, very importantly, this will be our first resort to have much needed convention facilities. We also launched our Dindori tasting room and bottle shop at our ND Wines facility just last month. This facility is strategically located less than 50 kilometers from the Gujarat border and will offer visitors wine tastings and vineyard tours. We are also opening a beautiful new tasting room with a spectacular view at our Domaine Sula facility in Karnataka in Q2. We are also expanding the restaurant capacity there. Domaine Sula sees over 30,000 visitors annually, and so having a tasting room here is the natural next step in enhancing the guest experience. All in all, with these exciting expansions coming on stream and the opening of the Samruddhi Highway section enhancing accessibility, the outlook for wine tourism remains robust for the remainder of FY26. Moving on now on the innovation front, we are thrilled to launch our latest wine, the Sula Muscat Blanc, a new pioneering wine from the Sula stable. This is the latest in a string of elite and premium launches from Sula and follows on from our successful launch of the Sula Merlot less than a year ago. The Sula Muscat Blanc is India's first low alcohol still muscat wine with just 7.5% ABV. It will be our second launch based on the muscat grape varietal after the Sauce Moscato. The Sauce Moscato, by the way, was our fastest wine to hit 10,000 cases after launch, and so we have high hopes for Muscat Blanc as well. We have strategically priced the new wine very attractively at an MRP of INR 875 per bottle in Maharashtra. Muscat Blanc will be part of the iconic original Sula Classics range, thus strengthening our premium portfolio. It will be initially available, it is already available in Maharashtra, with Karnataka to follow in the coming months. Moving forward, we have a couple more exciting product launches coming up soon before this festive season, so watch out for those. We strengthened our CSD portfolio in March by introducing 4 additional labels from our elite portfolio, taking the total number of CSD listings to 9 labels. I'm pleased to say that the newly listed wines are now widely available in CSD canteen stores across the country, and we look forward to seeing solid sales growth in CSD this year with our expanded portfolio. Overall, looking ahead, while the year has begun on a challenging note, we remain firmly focused to deliver healthy growth in operating profit for the rest of FY26. With that, I would like to call on our CFO, Abhishek Kapoor, to take you through our financial performance in greater detail. Over to you, Abhishek.
Thank you, Rajiv. Good evening, everyone. Following Rajiv's overview of our business performance and strategic initiatives, I will now take you through the financial highlights for the first quarter of fiscal 2026. Revenue for quarter one stood steady at 118 crores after adjusting for the one-time gain of 10.5 crores recognized in quarter one of last year on account of unwinding of WIPS. Our own brand portfolio faced short-term pressure during the quarter, impacted by 2 key factors: a continued softness in urban demand and a temporary disruption in wine placements in the month of June in Maharashtra following the excise duty hike announcement on spirits. However, as Rajiv highlighted, we see the excise hike as a structurally positive development for Sula and the broader wine industry, improving wine's relative appeal versus spirits in the longer term. Excluding the WIPS gain from prior year, our elite and premium portfolio grew modestly by 1% despite a challenging environment. As a result, the contribution of elite and premium wines increased by over 300 basis points to 75% of our own brand revenue, up 71% in quarter one last year. Our major elite brands, The Source, Rasa and Dindori, saw positive momentum, particularly The Source, which continues to deliver strong double-digit growth and now contributes nearly 10% to our own brand's revenue. From a geographical perspective, despite overall tepid urban demand, several key states including West Bengal, Goa, UP and Rajasthan posted healthy double-digit growth. Turning to wine tourism, the business delivered another quarter of healthy double-digit growth with improvements across all key metrics, footfall, resort occupancy and spend per guest. Our D2C wine sales from bottle shops at our wine tourism properties grew by 11% YOY to 9 crores. This strong performance underlines the strength of our customer engagement and gives us confidence that as demand normalizes, we should see broader growth across key markets. As mentioned earlier, we are set to launch our third resort, The Haven by Sula, near the York Winery, as Rajiv already mentioned. This, like Beyond by Sula, is being developed under an asset-light model with land and capex funded by a third party and Sula managing operations on a fixed rent basis. Looking ahead, we remain optimistic about the growth trajectory of wine tourism. New capacity additions in quarter two and enhanced connectivity through Samruddhi Highway between Mumbai and Nasik will further strengthen this vertical. On the profitability front, our operating performance in quarter one was primarily impacted by a 20% plus increase in COGS. This increase was driven by a change in the wine sourcing model for our wine tourism business. As shared earlier in quarter 3 of financial year 2025, we transitioned from intra-group sourcing to procuring wine from a third-party distributor. This change, being non-comparable on a YOY basis, resulted in an increase of INR 6 crore in traded goods purchase, leading to a 450 basis point compression in gross margin and a corresponding impact on EBITDA. Adjusting for this one-off, our gross margin remains broadly in line with last year at around 80%. This is a temporary impact and will continue into quarter two to a much lesser extent. From quarter three onwards, this effect will normalize due to a comparable base. In parallel, we have implemented initiatives to lower raw material costs and improve manufacturing efficiencies. The benefits of these actions are not yet reflected in quarter one due to carryover of relative higher cost liquid inventory from last year. As this inventory is utilized, we expect to see a positive impact on gross margins in balance half of the year. On the operating cost front, we have made meaningful progress. Actions initiated in quarter 4 of financial year 2025 have resulted in a 1% YOY reduction in Q1 operating expenses. interest cost for the quarter was up 5% due to a marginal increase in average debt. Nevertheless, our debt to EBITDA remains healthy at around 2 times to our trading 12-month EBITDA. Depreciation is higher YOY, driven by elevated capex over last 3 years. However, I want to emphasize that our major capital investments are now behind us. We expect capex for FY26 and year onwards to moderate to half of this to around 35 crore annually. In the last 3 years, it may be noted, we have been doing capex to the extent of 50 to 60 crore per annum. Low capex along with reduced inventory level should help contain any further interest in debt, increase in debt this fiscal. Update on WIPS. Our WIPS outstanding at the end of quarter one stood at around 70 crore compared to around 72 crore at the end of March 2025. During the quarter, we accrued around 9.5 crore of WIPS accrual, and we also received a 13 crore payout from the government. Looking ahead, we expect an improvement of couple hundred basis points in operating margins in second half of this financial year, which is driven by no capping constraint on WIPS accrual. It may please be noted that last year in second half of the year, we lost around 6 crore of revenue, which flowed directly to the bottom line. New wine tourism openings, as Rajiv already mentioned, and realization of cost efficiencies in manufacturing and operating expenses. We are taking decisive steps to improve profitability, grow wine tourism, and enhance shareholder value while staying true to our long-term vision of delivering sustainable and profitable growth. With this, I request to open the session for Q&A.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Our first question comes from the line of Chirag Kinger with CLSA. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, good evening. Thank you for taking my question. So my first question was on the demand environment pre-stocking of the spirits due to the duty hike in Maharashtra. So just wanted to understand what was the run rate of growth looking like in the months of April and June. That's my first question. And then secondly, in the month of April and May. And then secondly, just on the change in wine sourcing model for the wine tourism business, can you talk about what were the key driving factors behind this change? And yeah, those would be my two questions. Thank you.
Thanks for your question, Chirag. So as we mentioned that June being the biggest month in the first quarter of the financial year, there was a significant impact on account of this policy change which increased the duties on spirits. Before the official announcement, there was already an information in the market, and that created the trade to kind of pick up a lot of stock. So this impacted significantly in the last fortnight of the quarter. Now before that, we could see some of the green shoot, as we could see the hospital, our wine tourism, the wine sales from the wine tourism were picking up right from the start of the financial year, from the month of April itself. So we could see that the demand was building up. In case this disruption due to the duties was not there, we could see a growth in the state of Maharashtra, which would have contributed to the overall numbers on our own brand portfolio.
All right, thank you. And then just on the second question on the wine sourcing model, what were the driving factors for that?
Sure. So Chirag, we have three legal entities, and for sourcing of the wines for our wine tourism business, we were holding the licenses amidst these entities. But there were certain challenges, and with three entities, it was difficult to manage in terms of the supply chain. And that's why the decision was taken to source the wines from a third-party distributor. As we informed that in quarter three of the last financial year, that this is not going to have any impact in terms of the gross margins because it's neutral. Ultimately, it's in terms of the charges which we pay for towards this is only minuscule handling charges. But because this is an incomparable base as far as quarter one is concerned, we are seeing a huge impact on account of this appearing in COGS for the wines which we purchased during the quarter for our wine tourism operations. So as stated earlier, from Q3 onwards, this will get completely normalized and we will not see any impact on account of this change model.
Understood. Very clear. Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants, if you would wish to ask a question, please press star and one on a touchtone telephone. Thank you. Our next question comes from Kshitij Verma from Rest Assured Wealth Advisors. Please go ahead. Kshitij, your line has been unmuted. Please go ahead with your question.
Maybe move on to the next.
One moment, sir, please. Thank you. Our next question comes from Siddhant from Goodwill. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. My question was regarding the EU tariff. In a recent interview, you had mentioned that, you know, they're expecting some level of tariff. So, you know, what kind of levels will it be? Are you expecting? And do you expect it to be in the price bracket like Australia? The tariff reduction?
Hi, I will take that one. At this point, we don't see any further tariff reductions as being imminent. The EU agreement is taking its time, and we have received assurances from our government that at the end of the day, the farmers are foremost in the consideration of the government when negotiating these FTAs. Having said that, we are definitely vigilant and getting ready for the case that duties can come down further. I think that nobody is under any misunderstanding or misapprehension that the high tariffs are going to last forever and the MIP is going to stay where it is forever. So it is a possibility that the MIP, which right now stands at $5 a bottle CIF with Australia Part 1, could come down. At this point with Australia, the duty reduction has meant an impact on wines coming down to around 3,500 rupees MRP in the Maharashtra market. So there is still a significant gap between that and our highest priced wine, which would be our Rasa Cabernet Sauvignon, which is currently at 2,000 rupees in the Maharashtra market. In fact, there are already a lot of imported wines that we compete against directly, which are at say 1500 to 2000 rupees MRP in the Maharashtra market. So this 3500 rupee could come down maybe to 3000, maybe a bit lower than that, but there is still some cushion, a fair amount of cushion between the impact in the case of some reduction and the price, our highest priced product in the market.
Okay. My second question was regarding fire competition in Horeca. Still, as in some cooling.
I'm sorry, your question was not clear. Please, could you repeat? You said Horeca in competition and Horeca. We didn't hear after that.
Yeah. Discounting by our distributor.
So sorry to interrupt you, sir. Your voice is breaking, sir. Can you please use your handset?
What I heard was, is the discounting by our competition very severe?
Correct.
Yes. Sir. Unfortunately, this has been a very unfortunate characteristic of the Indian wine market over the last few years, indiscriminate and unsustainable, and I would say straight off loss-making discounting by some of our competitors. Sula has always tried to stay a bit above the fray, but of course at the end of the day we have to compete in the market, and the place where it probably hits the most is in the Horeca segment. In the retail segment, it's very clear that the consumer will get what they want at the end of the day. No retailer who knows their business is going to try to deny their consumers their favorite brands. So Sula is always well ahead in this market where the consumer gets to choose. But in the Horeca market, it's very different. Because the buyer, you know, the selection is generally narrower. Once you're inside the restaurant and sitting down at the table, you cannot really ask for another wine and ask them to go get it. And hence, discounts do come into play. And yes, there is some pretty brutal discounting going on. I would use the acronym BOGO, which is buy one, get one, which seems to be the reigning mantra right now for a lot of our competition, and sometimes it goes even further than that. So it does impact. However, having said that, I want to point out the source in particular, which many restaurateurs, hoteliers, they love this wine. They love the price point. It's the sweet spot. Above 1,000 rupees MRP, but below 1,500 rupees, and that wine shows no signs of slowing down and is making very impressive and significant listing gains even in Horeca. We will continue trying to hold the line in terms of discounting. It's not always easy. Our sales force is always complaining, but you know, Sula tries to stay above the fray for as much as is possible.
Wonderful, wonderful. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Kshitij Verma from Rest Assured Wealth Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hi, am I audible, sir?
Yes, yes sir, please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for having me on the call. My query was regarding the scalability of our hospitality projects. We've done good job scaling in the Nashik region, but just to throw an idea out there, suppose there's a developer, say, in Goa or, say, somewhere in Mangalore, I'm just giving random examples, who wants to build a property and give it to Sula to manage. And maybe not an actual vineyard, you can simulate a vineyard and give the experience as such. Like how you see these foreign five-star hotel brands, they ask the developer to build and then they do the management. Is this possible, or having a natural vineyard is a big precursor for this?
It's a very good question. I would say that we would always prefer to have a vineyard in front, but it is not by any means mandatory because our resorts by Gangapur Lake, though they are of course very much in Nasik and they are on the same road as Sula, Beyond in particular, which is doing amazingly well, does not have a vineyard in front of it. It has a lake in front of it. We have a couple pillars for our wine tourism business. The first is that we like to be asset light. So if we get a good proposal from a developer, we are always open. That's the first thing. The second thing, what we want is a wine-friendly resort. So having the vineyard in front of it is not necessarily, it's not make or break. But however, if we are to manage it, it would be that the consumer would find, a great selection of all our wines at a price close to the MRP. That, I think, is what, and then properly presented in the right way, with the right glassware, with the right accoutrements. All of that is what is most important for us. So we are not at this point planning to expand further as a hotel management company. It has to be tied to the greater objective of promoting the cause and consumption of our wine. Thank you.
Yes, sir, I agree that we don't maybe want to be a primary hospitality company, but as you're aware, sir, we are the pioneers in trying to get wine consumption increase as a percentage of, share of throat. So maybe, we will have to kind of take the ownership in this initially and then let the wine business outgrow, because most of the people who have become wine converts, their first stage was actually a stay at the resort. So we've seen a very positive trend there and the margin sold on the resort is more. So if we can, in future, we can also actively look, maybe not for many resorts, but just one or two in diverse geographies also, it will help our case in, penetrating. It's just a suggestion. I leave it up to the wisdom of the management. And my last query, sir, was, when we go abroad to Indian restaurants across, there are Indian restaurants and even the foreigners love the Indian cuisine. But in many menus, you don't see Indian wine on the menu. You see the Indian restaurant selling Italian wine. So is this challenging to activate restaurants abroad or how is the thing there, Matlum?
Kshitij, I'll answer your first question first. We are open. Right now, we have a pipeline. We are not a big company that can manage multiple projects at once. So we have a robust pipeline right now, but I would say that we do get offers, proposals, and we are always open. So your point is very well taken about why not having, for instance, a resort, a wine-friendly resort in, say, Goa or Mangalore you referred to. Both of those places actually would work quite well for us because wine prices there are still relatively lower and more benign compared to the rest of the country. In some states, you have the issue of taxes being so high that it doesn't always make sense. So one of the things is that the states where you can still make a decent margin, even if you sell the wine at MRP, because obviously there are a lot of associated costs, as hoteliers well know, with putting that, they recoup a lot of the costs and the profits from alcoholic beverages. So that would be something that would be very important. But, Mangalore stands out because Karnataka is very benign in terms of wine taxation. In terms of your second question of Indian wines not being on Indian restaurant menus worldwide, yes, this is an issue. It's not so easy to get distribution. And unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that the last couple of years has seen a challenging environment for wine. So you have pretty cutthroat competition in the global wine market. And you have countries where they have to export or perish. You have countries with very large production like Chile, Australia, New Zealand, where the local consumption doesn't come anywhere close to the production. And so these countries are very aggressive. The export market is not very remunerative. And I have always said that we would prefer to sell, at this point if you ask me, we would prefer to sell much more wine in Mangalore than in Manchester. Thank you.
So just one last query from my side, one last. A counter-cyclical question, sir. Suppose these FTAs go through and there is more availability of wine from grown abroad, do you think this might actually increase the wine penetration in the country and may actually benefit us by expanding the market, as you'll have many people investing in educating the wine market and ultimately our product will thrive on its own merit? So actually it might be a, you know, blessing in disguise for us. Does the management look at it that way?
So a lot of people do put forward this theory, and there is definitely some truth to that theory. So I would say that if you have a situation where there is no minimum import price, you know, that the government did away with minimum import price altogether, that I think would be very difficult for our industry because costs are higher. But if you just have a situation where the minimum import price comes down a bit, as is the most likely scenario, absolutely we do see more market development activities being carried out by some of the global wine brands, which would lead to an expansion in the wine market. Then it's going to be up to each individual producer and company to hold their market share within that market. But I would say that a growing market with us holding our market share would still be a pretty good outcome. And Sula has the ammunition for that more than anyone else because of our thriving wine tourism business, which dwarfs all the rest of our competitors put together. We are more than 10x all our competitors put together in wine tourism, and an extremely iconic number of venues which is going to expand even further with the expansions and the conference facilities, which I'm most excited about because that's going to allow us to have more weddings, corporate conferences, and all of these. We put in a clause that if you're going to have a wedding or a conference at Sula, you have to buy a certain amount of wine. That's the way that we do it. So Sula would, I do believe, stand strong, but yours is a very pertinent and relevant question. Definitely market development would happen.
Shitij, thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, a reminder to all the participants, if you would like to ask a question, please press star and one. Our next question comes from Palak Shah from Entourage Family Office. Please go ahead.
Hey, hi. Thank you so much for taking my question. Hope I'm audible.
Yes, you are.
Yes.
Hi. Just wanted to check, given the revised procurement cycle for the wine tourism linked wines, what would be our normative gross margins going forward?
So, as I stated earlier, our normalized gross margins, which were in the range of around 80%, they don't get impacted due to this change in model once it has a comparable base. So no impact per se on its own. It's only because for quarter one they were not the right comparable. That's why it is showing up.
No, even if I look at sequential basis, right, you had a material fluctuation in the margins going from almost 83% to 76%, 74%. So just want to understand even the sequential margin variation that we have, because before 2024 March, there was more normalized margins of when we were between 77 to 80% margins, but right now the fluctuation is quite material.
So yes, so see, the key reason quarter on quarter for these gross margin fluctuations is largely on account of the mix between our elite premium and economy popular wines. So as this mix fluctuates, so if you recall, our all-time high mix was close to around 78% of elite and premium wines. So as this mix changes, we see a fluctuation in gross margins. But per se, on its own, it doesn't have any impact if we were to have a stable mix between two categories.
Got it. And secondly, earlier we had this thought that when Jacob's Creek was sold, we would have somewhat of moderation in competition because earlier Pernod used to force retailers to buy wine if they wanted the spirit side of the business. With this change in hands already concluded by December, 6 months already passed by, how are we looking at this competitive scenario? Is there some ease of competition?
So, to the best of our knowledge, there is a continued distribution agreement that Pernod would continue to distribute Jacob's Creek in those markets where the new buyer doesn't have a robust infrastructure and distribution network already. We are not privy to the finer details, but we do believe that JC will continue to be, as per what we know. We may be wrong, but we do believe that JC will continue to be distributed by PRI for some more time. So that distribution continues to be, at this point, in the hands of PRI. Now, how much the focus will be moving forward, one is not sure, because, you know, when a company lets go of a brand, then obviously focus and priorities change. However, one should remember that there would be a certain amount of stock on hand, and they would continue to try to be aggressive and competitive in the market, even if it's relatively different. But so the might of PRI continues to be behind JC for the time being.
Got it. And just lastly, on the revenue growth side, it's been almost been 5 quarters since we had a subpar growth, given where our penetrations are. As in your thought process and in my management strategy, when do we expect to go back to double-digit growth? If nothing else, at least a low double-digit growth, which should be the case given our penetrations today.
One would hope, given the penetration, the minuscule penetration of wine, that those days return. However, I must say that the last year has been difficult, and so I would not like to give any guidance for the future, except that we are working hard to come back to growth.
Great. Thank you so much for the answers, Rajeev, and all the very best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Mandar Kapse for closing comments.
Yeah, thanks, Vico. Thanks, everyone, for joining once again. Please do reach out to us if you have any further questions on the investor relations email ID. Good evening, and have a good weekend, everyone.
Thank you. On behalf of Sula Vineyards Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.